Terry? You did? You will. And Larry had one last week, right? What? Me? Birthday. So this is like one of the things I love about doing this and speaking here is being able to sing happy birthday to Terry and Larry every year. That's, truth be known, how I found out that Terry was even a pastor. Oh, that's the pastor. So I'm going to invite Carson up. Is she still here? Oh, she left. Oh, bummer. She ditched me. So I'm going to sing happy birthday then to Larry and to Terry. Are you ready? Ba-da-da-da-da-da, Larry and Terry. Larry and Terry. Larry and Terry. Whoa, whoa, Larry and Terry. Just want to say happy birthday. We love you. Ba, 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 da, da, da. Ba. See, I told you it was going to be a show. Let us pray. And may I put this down on here, or would you prefer not? Thank you. Dear God, as we're sitting there singing, Be Thou My Vision, I was humbled. Because my sister remembered that that's one of the songs I really wanted last year. And here we are singing it. And I just thank you, God, for that song. Be Thou My Vision, my sword and my shield. Be Thou My Vision, everything, when I wake and when I sleep. Be Thou My Vision. God, that I can put myself aside, as Terry said tonight as I preached, that, Lord, you just fill me with your spirit. God, that I may say your words to your people, not what I think is appropriate or others have deemed appropriate, but God, what you want. I ask these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we start, I'm going to ask you to listen to a video that Larry has queued. I'm going to sit down here. And if you want to sing during this video, if you know the song, I ask that you please go ahead and sing. Just so you know, that is in the Methodist hymnal. And at least I sing that to myself every week. Now, I got to tell you, Mac Davis hits the nail on the head. It is hard to be humble. No, it isn't. Look, I'm humble, God. Even in just those statements, sometimes we've really got to think about what it is we're saying and why we're saying it. Now, I want to ask you a question. What's the opposite of humble? Pride. And it's funny because I don't think that everyone in the world thinks when we think of humility about being humble, they think instantly of pride as being the opposite. And why is this so important to me? Because I think that pride, like money, is a root of all evil. Pride drives us to do things for ourselves, doesn't it? If you go to Judges, the very last page in Judges, and I lost my place here, so I apologize. Well, one of you get there first. The very last line in Judges, what does it say? Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Or, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Male or female. That is pride. Well, I think it's better tonight that I do what I want. I don't really care. You want me to preach on what? Humble and pride? No, I'm going to preach about this. No, I think that's a good idea you have, but I like my idea better. And as a matter of fact, I didn't even hear what you were talking about because I was so busy thinking about my idea that I toned you out completely. Did you say something? What? What was that? Better in my own eyes. We do this often. No, we don't. We're Christians, Hank. Oh, all right. Okay. Do Christians have pride problems? Do we? No, we're the best thing in the world, aren't we? God is lucky to have us, isn't he? Because we go around spreading the word of God, and we do so many important things. See, pride can come in a seemingly innocent way, can't it? Pride can undermine all the humility in the world with just one statement. And it really always amazes me when you ask people, well, why don't you go to church? Well, because all those people are hypocrites. Yeah, I'll give you that. But why are we hypocrites in church? Is it sometimes because we want to do it our way? Let's think about some other things here. Methodist Church. Orfino Community Church, Assemblies of God, Covenant Church. Are there other churches represented here tonight? Tabernacle, Cottonwood. Oh, that's right. There's too many of them here tonight. See this? All these different churches here. Now, when I walk up, you say, "Hi, I'm Hank." And I say, "Who are you?" I say, "Well, I'm Jim." "Well, Jim, tell me about yourself." "Well, I voted Republican this year, and I go to the Tabernacle, and I do this, and I do that, and I do this, and I do that, and I do this, and I do that." So often we lead with the wonderful things that we think of ourselves and that we want ourselves to be known as, because heaven forbid, in a red county, in a red state, we can't have voted for the other person. We need to let people know, "I'm a Republican." Oh, yeah. Why don't we lead with, "I'm a Christian. I'm a lover of Christ." I had a person, an acquaintance, and it's too bad I didn't know him better. He passed away last year. He was a grandson to a good friend of mine. And this person never met a person he didn't love. And he would walk up to you in a grocery store and say, "Hey, I'm Jeremiah. What's your name?" "Christina." "Christina, do you know my friend Jesus?"
"I do."
and he would just do this. He would let you right off know who he was. He didn't care about all the other things. Well, I'm a 275-pound linebacker for Colgate University, or actually a 315-pound offensive tackle for... who cares? Do you love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, and mind? See, that's where we need to start. But we don't. We start with all our titles. I'm a Methodist. I'm a pastor. I'm a father. I'm a husband. Oh, and I go to church. I'm a lover of Christ. And you know what? God has given me a blessing of having a wife and children. God has given me a blessing of living in Orofino and being able to serve God in this community. And it was the most amazing thing. I looked at it at my church the first Sunday and said, oh, by the way, I'm not here to serve you. I'm here to serve God. You know, like that movie where the blue smoke comes out of their head? I remember whatever those cartoons are. No, those commercials. Blew their minds. But here I am, like you said, 6 years later. Still being a pastor at United Methodist Church. So, pride gets in the way of humility all the time. Right? Pride. Because we want to do things our way. What else does pride get in the way of? Well, it gets in the way of community, doesn't it? Terry, were you talking about community yesterday and calling the name of God over the community? I heard something about that. But how can we, as a community of Christians, do that if I'm the one that's right? Oh, wait, no, you're the one that's right. Wait, no, you're the one that's right. No, wait, you're the one that's right. If it's not God who's right, how can we do that? Has anyone ever read about the practices of community? I've got them written down here. Have you ever read about them or talked about them? Truth-telling, promise-keeping, hospitality, gratitude. Can you practice any of those things that I just mentioned if you are not humble? How can I tell you the truth if I'm more concerned about who I am? No. How can I offer you gratitude and be kind and loving if I'm more concerned with who I am? How can I offer you hospitality? Here, come into my house. Let me do something for you so you will owe me, is how sometimes it often works. Is that truly how we build community? So if we can't be humble, we cannot be a community. And, you know, we can pray over this community all we want. But if we, those Christians, are not humble and willing to work together, how can it happen? Well, those Methodists, that pastor, you heard what he said the other day. I don't know. Don't invite him again. Wow, you really made it difficult. Wow, we all have to love one another. Yeah. And we can still have our differences. You see, I don't care if you're a Catholic. I don't care if you're a Lutheran. I don't care if you go to a Tabernacle. I don't care if you go to a Covenant House, Assemblies of God. I don't care where you're going to church. What are you? What are you? Are you lovers of God? First and foremost, right? It doesn't matter all the other stuff. Because here it is. If you can't love God, then you can't be humble. You cannot be humble. And you know that part in first Isaiah, the first chapter of Isaiah, first Isaiah, as opposed to second Isaiah. Yeah, Hank's making the Bible books now. That's why we aren't Methodists. The first chapter of Isaiah where he says, you know what? I don't really care about your prayers. They stink. Don't bring them to me anymore. And your new moon sacrifices and your festivals. Who cares? They're awful. I don't want them. So if we can't humble ourselves, love God first in our lives, then there's no way God's going to want to hear our prayers. So even when we call on God's name, He's not going to hear us. I want to read something to you. This is, by the way, become my favorite scripture, and it's Philippians chapter 2. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion, sympathy, make my joy complete, be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Listen closely, family. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourself. Those people from the tabernacle, I cannot regard them. I'm a pastor. I'm better. No, regard them as better than yourself. Them, 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 them. It doesn't matter. You know, I love it when you read in Scripture and Paul says, you know, making idle chatter and silly and vulgar talk and jokes. Everyone's like, well, yeah, that profanity, that's a bad thing. No, but you see, when you make jokes about other churches, that's vulgarity. That's pulling down God's kingdom here on this earth. And humility, look to others as better than yourself. Well, I'm a man. I'm the man. You know, I'm the pastor. I'm better than everyone else, except maybe Terry, because, you know, well, and David. No. Pastors are no better than you. And there's at least four pastors in this room right now, and I will tell you, if any one of us think we're better than you, then you need a new pastor. I mean, four beside me, actually more, five, six. There's a lot of pastors here tonight. And I'm telling you, we are no better than the people we preach to. And I love when Paul says, you know, I'm the least amongst you. Hey, and by the way, I was this person that was running around killing you. And God used me. So if God can use me, what can He do with you? If you humble yourself and regard others as better than yourself. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Ooh, something tricky is about to happen here. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. So, as I'm getting ready to go out in the morning on Sunday morning to drive up to Cavendish, so I can preach up there, and I'm leaving early because it's snowing and I've got a shovel up there. And someone says, hey, I need help with my car. Do I say, oh, I'm sorry. I have to go. I have to do my work. Or I look to someone else's interest. Maybe it's knocking on the door, going back in my house and saying, Christian, can you come help this guy? I've got to run. But making sure that person is taken care of. Has anyone ever heard the comment or the thought, the understanding that Christianity is not convenient? It is not, because God will do things to you at the darndest times. He will put people in front of you when you're not expecting anything. Oh, I'm supposed to be resting and relaxing. What? You want me to do what? When we look to others' interests, we're doing God's work. Hank, you know, how do you say that? Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. Now, has anyone here been born in human likeness? Yeah, we're human. Has anyone ever heard the verbiage, the understanding that you are no longer free, but you are a slave? I am a slave. I'm a slave to Jesus Christ. And in that slavery, I am set free. I am set free. Be of the same mind as Christ Jesus, who did these very same things. It blows my mind every time I read this, and I cannot help but think why God... Caleb, where are you? You got the smartwatch? You got a smartwatch. Let me ask you a question. Is that smartwatch smarter than its creator? No. Are we smarter than our creator? Okay, but our creator, who is much smarter than us, decided to come down here and be born. Oh, we just celebrated that, didn't we? Our creator didn't come down dressed in royal purple with a crown on his head with tanks and soldiers behind him. He came down and was born where? Yeah, stall. And I asked my churches this on Christmas Eve. I'm going to ask you, and what's on the floor of a stall? Yeah. You should have heard the answer Evan Simpson gave me. You can just imagine if you know Evan. But yeah, that's where my God was born. Now, if any of us were God and we were looking to make a point, how would we be born? In the governor's mansion, in the White House, Caesar's palace? We'd have everything. I don't forget that. I wouldn't even be born. I'd just come down fully grown, ready to do what I needed to do. But that's not our God. Our God came down, our creator, who is smarter and greater and better than us. Oh, and he humbled himself before his creation. Humbled himself before his creation. Do any of you go out and humble yourselves before your grape trellises? Do you humble yourself before your watch? No. But our God did that. The closest we can come to is when we humble ourselves before our children. How many people here have ever said to their children, and be careful if you say this because they will do it, I give you permission to point out to me when I am wrong, when I have sinned. And when 4- and 5-year-olds say, Daddy, that's a sin, you are brought low. Our God did that. Came down and humbled himself to the point of death on a cross. Are you willing to do that for God? Are you willing to humble yourself to that point? To put all that you think is important behind you and focus on what God wants? Well, I'm going to be the best pastor ever. No, Hank. I want you to be the best lover of Christ ever. I want you to be so humble that sometimes you feel like a doormat. Well, I do, God. Well, geez. Didn't you feel like that when you were on the cross? Even though on the cross, dying a miserable death, what does our God say? Forgive them, Lord. Forgive them. How many of us on the cross would be saying, forgive them? How many? Talk about humility. Be of the same mind as Christ Jesus means that you need to have that same understanding of humility. Now, of course, I got to ask you this question. Did Jesus ever get upset with people? You know, at some point, I have to imagine that Jesus said, okay, well, you know, the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes are really not getting it. So I need to bring this to a different audience. Does this mean that Jesus stopped loving them? Does it mean that Jesus stopped talking to them? But does it mean that Jesus went out of his way to find them? I understand sometimes we can't be all things to all people. And that we have to focus. God gives us a direction. We need to move that way. And I understand. I'm not sitting here telling you, be a doormat and let everyone walk over the top of you. I don't think that's God's intent. But I most certainly think it is God's intent that in humility, you make that decision. In humility, you love that person. That everyone else says, oh, you can't love that person. That person's awful. How many awful people do we know in this town? In this world? We were talking about pride a little bit earlier. Is it okay to be prideful sometimes? It is? Was God ever prideful in the Bible? Yeah, at the baptism. What does he say? As his son comes out of the water. What is it? I want to hear it out loud. Why was he well pleased? He was listening to the Father. He was being obedient. He was trusting and obeying. What does Jesus say when he's sitting there praying in the garden? Your will be done. Now, as we're sitting there sucking on the cup of sorrow, how often do we say, your will be done? And how often do we take the bull by the horns and take care of it for ourselves? How many of us, when everything falls apart, are going to be willing to be marked so we can take care of ourselves and our families? How many of us are going to say, well, I may end up dead, but I know God says he has me and he will take care of me. And I love that when you read Revelation, and it goes right back to last year. It's like, oh my goodness. You know all the merchants, all the people making money off of selling stuff to Babylon, how upset and depressed they are when Babylon gets wiped out. They're like, oh man, no more money, no more joy. We better go hide in the cave. Are you going to go hide in the cave or trust in God? Are you going to be humble enough to say, I'm scared, but I can let God take care of this? Now, does that mean that you all just have to sit there and go like this and sing Kumbaya in a corner? No. God will still put into your arms, put into your lives, put into your minds things that you have to do. But we don't have to go after the trappings of this world. We don't have to go and say, well, you know, United States government or European government or UN government, whatever it becomes, whatever it is, I want whatever you have. We say, no, God, I want what you have. God, what will you have me do? Well, why would we do that? I don't know. Why did our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ do that? Why? Why did he humble himself like that? He loves his creation. He loves us. Do you love God enough to humble yourself in that way? Humility is hard to do. Oh Lord, it is hard to be humble. He was right. Because I'm going to tell you, it is the single hardest thing to do. I just want to take one example here. I go over and I kick Christina. Say, ow. Oh, now I have to think in my head. I have to say sorry to her. But her foot's out too far. It's her own fault. Do I really need to say sorry to her? Or do I just, like, give her the look? Okay, well, I'm going to say I'm sorry. Okay, see, pride's already working in me. I'm sorry, Christina. Now, Christina has to go, dang right, you're sorry. Or, I forgive you, Hank. That's right, you got to do the, come on, got to get, okay, that's better, that's just good. You got to do it with attitude. Uh-huh, you are right, you are sorry. Or, Hank, I forgive you. See, the one is full of pride, like, yeah, you should be sorry. The other one is, I forgive you. Now, here comes the hardest part. She's just saying, I forgive you, Hank. What do I do with that? Is she implying that I was wrong? Hold on a minute here. This is really not good. This is going sideways. I'm a pastor. I can't be wrong. Is that what she's implying? Or do I say, thank you? The humble heart, appreciating that my sister was willing to forgive me. Pride is sitting there like a lion all the time. And it's pretty cool because pride and lion, you know, pride of lions. Okay, it's just, yeah, okay. Hank, just stick to the preaching on this. Pride is sitting there waiting for you. What's that verse about, and sin is sitting there crouching like, yeah, like a lion. Pride is sitting there just waiting to say, no, don't do that. Come on this way. Here, you don't need, go over. Yeah. Don't say sorry. Give them the attitude one. Just waiting there. And what does that do to my relationship then with Christina? Damages it. Wow, geez. She was kind of bossy to me today. And it damages. There's no more community here. And you see, that's what happens when we don't have humility. The community falls apart. Because how's it going in the song? If everybody's right, nobody's wrong. And that's a pretty scary thing. Because nobody's wrong. Honestly, no one's right. Not a single person. Now I want to ask you a question. How do you pray for humility? Carefully. Ask Solomon. I want wisdom. Whoa, not that much. God, give me all the humility so I can be like the humblest person in the world. Yeah, God, that's what I want to be. The humblest person. I want to be the humble of the humble. I want to get the humble award this year. Yeah. Or do I just pray, God? Guide and direct me. We just read a scripture that's just pointing out and pouring with humility. Teach me how to understand this, God, and incorporate this into my life. And we're doing this in our church right now. And I think it's really frustrating people is, I don't care you have the knowledge, Heather. Who cares that you know something? How are you living it in your life? Great, you know what the word humble means. Great, you know pride's the opposite of it. Great, you can recite Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Wow, great. But do you know how to live it? And you know, praying, calling the name of God, and humility is going to be something. But when I call it, because, oh, well, it's what everyone else in the church is doing this week. We better call on God. It's worthless. And I go back to Isaiah again. And I get to use some of my favorite verses and things in here. But Isaiah 1. First Isaiah. Yeah, okay, the comedians in the back, yay, pipe down over there. Hey, where's the bouncer? When you come to appear before me, who asks this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling a convocation. I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moon and your appointed festival my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. This is where it really gets interesting. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Okay, now I want you to understand when it says learn to do good and seek justice. Justice isn't the good God's looking for. God wants you to change and to be good. And he wants you to seek justice. And justice is what? Oh, it's rescuing the oppressed. But Hank, my station in life, I don't want to put myself down that low. Humble yourself and rescue the oppressed as Jesus rescued the oppressed. Defend the orphan. If they just didn't have those kids, we wouldn't have those orphans. Hank, why do we have to deal? As Jesus came down and took care of the orphans, you too humble yourself and take care of the orphan. Now, who's an orphan? Is an orphan just a child that's in an orphanage? No. An orphan could be someone who's by themselves, living by themselves. From a foreign country, from a foreign place like New Jersey. From anywhere. So I'm from New Jersey, so I can make fun of New Jersey. No one else can. Plead for the widow. See, that's justice. Justice isn't what we see on Law and Order. You know, Jack Stone and all those other guys running around. Or what are their names? I can't remember their name. Cutter. That's not justice. That's our justice. That's our justice system. God's justice system says, humble yourself and take care of those around you. Why was that commandment? Jesus says it. Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, and mind. And like it is love your neighbor as yourself. Something like that. Yeah. God first, all those around you second. See, if you truly love God, you can humble yourself and love the people around you. Even though I'm a pastor and you're not, I can still love you. Even though you can sing like canaries and I sound like a dying bullfrog, you can still love me. We can all be here together to praise and worship God. But if we don't humble ourselves, it's all pointless. And I just want to bring up this wonderful thing. It says right here, your prayers, they're not worth anything if your heart's not in the right place. Humble themselves and pray. If you're not humble, if you're not submitting to God, then you most certainly are not submitting to one another. And if you're not doing that, I don't know. Will God hear your prayers? Oh, I think he will. But I think you kind of hurt him. So you're asking me to help you continue hurting other people, Hank? You're doing things out of selfish ambition. And you're asking me to continue to help you grow and to get better at being selfish and prideful and full of yourself versus the person who's humble. You know, I always think of the woman at the well. There's no more humble person than this woman who just, she's kind of an outsider, isn't she? And Jesus calls her out. Ah, you don't have a husband. You have five, and you're living with another person now. Instead of going, oh, you're right, she runs down and evangelizes the whole town. She says, you're right about me. You're absolutely right. And I need to change. And she runs down and evangelizes a whole town. If one person can do that, 20, 30, 40, what can 40 people do? If we humble ourselves and say, you're right, God, I'm wrong. And if we pray out of that humility, calling on to God, asking for God to be present here. You know, I love what Terry said, and I pray this every week, that it not be about me, not just put me aside, empty me, and pour through me. Because what I think really isn't worth a hill of beans, but I know what God knows and God thinks and what God does is worth so very much, not just to me, but to everyone. You guys ever read about Dietrich Bonhoeffer? You know, if you get the chance, I really, really, really recommend. Wow, that was cool. Really? I can't do it again. Bummer. Eric Metaxas's biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And in there, Dietrich Bonhoeffer comes to the decision that he's going to be part of a plot to kill Adolf Hitler. I remember reading that. The first thing that went through my mind is, well, murder is sin. You see, when you humble yourself, when you put yourself before the Lord, God will point you in directions you never thought possible. I don't think Dietrich Bonhoeffer thought that he would end up in a concentration camp. And he didn't think he would be executed. But up to the day he was executed, he was preaching God's word. He was doing the work, not going, you know, God, great. I did what you wanted, and now I'm in a concentration camp. Thanks a lot, God. No, continuing to do the work of the Lord, despite the fact that it was in a concentration camp. Are you willing to do that? Are we willing to do that? And not for our churches. Not for our friends, not for our husbands or our wives or our children, but for God. Everything has to be one way. You're like, well, they name streets after you, one way. Yeah, towards God and God only. Are you that person? And are you willing, as I said before, not to just know these things, to actually live these things? It's great that we can have that knowledge. Wonderful. And I'm glad people memorize verses. But if you can't actuate, if you can't live those, you're missing it. Let us pray. Lord, it may be hard to be humble. But God, you have given us all the tools. You have blessed us. You've given us friends. You have given us family. You have given us the example of you coming down to this world for us. You have given us scripture. All these things, God, that we have that we can use. And I pray, Lord, that we solemnly get down on our knees and ask you, God, how do I use this, God? How do I do this? So, Lord, it's no longer about me, and it's no longer about what I do and what I want, but it becomes about you and your will. God, to be able to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. God, that you just even consider me worthy. Knowing the path that I have walked, you humble me. You cut me to the quick. I pray, Lord, that we can all be there. That we all come to that understanding. It's not about what I can do for me or for my family or for my church or for my community, but God, it's what you can do through me for whomever you please. Make us open to hear that. I ask this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.